for that. And now, as we begin to look in the book of Isaiah at some of these verses, I've been sharing with you on the subject of comfort. And I'll remind you that this started from the book of Galatians. In the last chapter, it talks about reaping what we sow. And the Spirit of the Lord impressed on me about sowing to the Spirit in the Word. I don't believe I need to tell anybody that the Holy Spirit is pleased when we make much of the Word of God. We make much of the Word of God. When our loyalty is to His Word and we love His Word, I say this often, that I love the living Word and the written Word equally. I can't separate them two. I don't want to separate them two. And we can sow to the Spirit in the Word. And I think that one of the worst mistakes that a Christian can make is to take lightly the things that God's Word says, or to try to skirt around things that the Word of God says. And I've always believed that in the preaching ministry that I really needed to be loyal to His Word, to His Word. And so as a result of that, I took a passage of Scripture and shared with you that it would be the last Scripture that I would use, and that's been going on for months and months now, where it says in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And I preached on hope forever, and I preached on patience forever, and I've preached on comfort forever. And I want to reiterate something that comes from that passage. The next verse says, now the God of patience and consolation, same Greek word, consolation and comfort is the same Greek word. And I have stressed that these come from God. They come from God. We may learn patience from our tribulations, but I believe that passage means that tribulation worketh. That word worketh, I've researched that out real good, and it can mean manifests. So tribulations can manifest our patience that God blesses us with. And so we've been on the subject of comfort for some time, and I had called your attention to Isaiah and chapter 40. And chapter 40 on, it is my belief, that Israel from chapter 40 on, that's the second part of the book of Isaiah, is speaking of spiritual Israel. And sometime, if you're interested enough in that, you know how I am. If you ask me a question, I'll preach on it for 6 months. So if that's my belief. And so that starts out by saying, comfort ye my people. Comfort ye my people. And I want you to know, I know I've already said it, but it's worth repeating, that God wants us comforted. And there's so much in life where we need that, and we need it so bad. And of course, in the ministry, that's been an important part of what I've done to try to help people, is to try to help bring them comfort. And we know in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, it says that we can do so only by the comfort wherewith He's comforted us. That's the only way we can do that. Also, I have stressed the fact that there is a kind of comfort that is temporal, and there is a comfort that's spiritual, that you have to separate those two. And I've illustrated that by the fact that many in our culture are seeking comfort from other sources other than God. That's why we have such a bad drug problem, alcohol problem, pleasure problem, career problem. Things that people put first in their life. And we're not to do that. We're not to do that with anything. And all of these things are important, But we're to put them where they belong, and that's Jesus first. And you remember I read a passage this morning says where Jesus said, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. And I explained that, and it's worth repeating too. The more we love Jesus, the more we love others around us. So love the Lord. Love the Lord. And you do that by sowing to the Spirit in the Word. It'll just come from that. That's one of those blessings that we have in life. And so that's what Isaiah is saying. And he goes on to say, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquities are pardoned. Oh, what comfort that brings. I want to tell you there's not anything in this world that brings more comfort than to know without any question whatsoever that the penalty of our sin has been removed. I'm telling you nothing. I couldn't help thinking when we was talking, singing about washed in the blood. Boy, I tell you what comfort that brings to us to know that. There are people who don't think you can know that. But I'm telling you, the Bible says you can. And the Bible says that we need to do so. Now, our text verse is going to be in 41. And by the way, I wanted to say this. There's several things that he says here. If you were to pick up the book of Isaiah and read through there and see what God says. Let me give you an example. In chapter 43 and in verse 1, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What a comforting thought. To know if you know Jesus as your Savior, you belong to Him. You've been bought and paid for. And oh, what a price it was for you to say, I belong to Jesus. There's a song that has that statement in it. And also in the second verse of that 43rd chapter, he said, when thou passest through the water, I'll be with thee. And through the river, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle about thee. One of the most comforting things is knowing that the Lord is with us. What in the world could ever distress the child of God who constantly focuses on that reality that God is with us? God is with us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And to know that, and to, you have to believe it first. You have to believe it because the Word says it, and then live like it's true. In that 21st verse of that chapter, this people have I formed for myself, he says. They shall show forth my praise. And sometime or another, I've underlined that word shall in that verse because it's not maybe so and maybe not. It is a reality. It's a fact. Those who have been born again, you don't have to force them to praise Him. Amen? You don't have to force them to worship Him. You don't have to shame them. You know, I might be accused of being a brow-beating preacher, but I'm not. I'll tell you straightforward, if you're not faithful to the Lord, it's because something's wrong with you. You see, because that the Bible says that in many ways and many places in that. You know, when you and of course I can't help but bring some of these things out because they're so precious here in the Scripture. For example, in chapter 41 where we are, and now the reason he's saying comfort ye my people is because their warfare was over. The second part of the book of Isaiah is about that deliverance. And in the first part of chapter 41, it says this, keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength, and let them come near, and let them speak, let them come near together to judgment, who raised up the righteous man from the east. I'm telling you who that is. That's Cyrus the Great. That's who he's talking about. And talk about the providence of God and the extent of the providence of God. This is an awesome reality. And I call your attention again to chapter 44, beginning in verse 28. that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And on he goes. And this was spoken of Cyrus about 200 years before he was ever born. Talk about providence, divine providence at work. Another, you know, and that's always puzzled me. I've told you this before, how that God named him, and one of these days, maybe when I get to glory, I will ask that question and find out what his mama thought when he was born. She named him Cyrus, but God had already named him. God raised him up to deliver his people. And that's God's focus, is his people. His people. We may think about all that God is doing in the world, but I want you to know tonight, it's about what he's doing related to his people. And it's very strongly taught in the scripture. Now for a text verse, I'll read these two verses again. They are verse number 10 in chapter 41 and verse number 13. Chapter 10 and verse 13. And here's what it says. Fear thou not. Now, if I'm going to preach on comfort, I've got to include that. Because I got to tell you something, the Bible tells us fear hath its torment. And God's people are not supposed to fear. They're supposed to fear him. That's respect and reverence. But there, and remember what I've shared with you, there is a good kind of fear, and it is a fear that keeps us from being injured and hurt and all of that stuff. And you know, I've said, I can't help it. God done it for me. I'm not afraid of COVID. I'm careful. I'm not stupid. I'm going to do everything I can to avoid it. If somebody starts coughing somewhere, I'm going to skirt around and get away from them or whatever. I mean, I'm going to be careful. And we're stewards of our health and everything else in our life. But you say, preacher, aren't you afraid? I'm not afraid of dying. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not afraid of that. That doesn't mean that I'm welcoming it, but I'm not afraid of it. That doesn't mean I want to go. I want to go to heaven. I'll just not necessarily go tonight, if that's okay, Lord, you know, because it's like, you know, there's a little statement made in Philippians chapter 1 where Paul's talking about, having a desire to go on, which is far better. But there's a statement in there that said, but it's needful. How many of you believe you ain't going nowhere as long as it's needful? Sue needs me. She needs me so bad. By the way, I got to tell you this. Yeah, I'm not ever going to get into my text, but that's all right. As long as the Lord hadn't come back, then I got plenty of time to preach it. But I just wanted to share something with you. Like I told you, Brother Randy and I, we had the best visit, and by cell phone, and Brother Randy sent me this, and it says this: for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not, for I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful, and I'll stop there. Of course, there's more of that. And I said, Brother Randy, would it bother you if I shared anything that me and you talked about? And he said, whatever the Lord leads you to do, brother, you do it. So it's okay with him. But he had that passage of Scripture on his mind the night before his open heart surgery. And he told me that he had sang Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, in his mind. I guess he thought maybe that he couldn't carry a tune, but he could go through the words, you know. And that's something, you know. I want to tell you all tonight, every one of us, if the Lord delays his coming long enough, we're going to face our mortality face on. It's going to happen. If the Lord delays his coming, every single one of us, there's no way to get around that. And I got to tell you, the most comforting thing that anybody could think is when that time comes, I want to be comforted. And we can be comforted. And I got to tell you this too. I was talking to Sister Sherry, and you all know she's pretty sick. And we've been praying and praying and praying for her. She's been suffering a lot. She's had cancer for a long time. And I asked her, what I'm about to tell you tonight, I said, Sherry, if I repeat what you told me, would it be okay with you? Because I think it's a good testimony. She said, it's okay. And we had this long conversation about the forgiveness of our sin and everything. And she looked me in the eye and she said, Brother Thomas, I'm at peace about dying. Bless her heart. I'm at peace about dying. That's comfort. That's comfort. And you all don't know how many times that I've been with people. I just wish I knew. I never kept a record. I wish I had of. But how many times I've been with somebody dying. You'll never know how many times I've been holding somebody's hand or standing at the foot of their bed when they were dying. I remember just a little while back, I was in the room with Sister Gail and her brother, and he passed away while we stood there by the bed. You'll never know how many times. You'll never know how many times that there's just been the most pleasant look on somebody's face. And they'd talked about being ready when that time come. And folks, you just don't know how many times that it's ripped my insides out for them to be so scared of dying. So afraid to die. So afraid. But I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I never will forget a lady, and I'd been her pastor for years, and she was faithful as she could be. And that time came in her life, and I'll never forget her looking me in the face and saying, Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Them's awful words to say. Now, she may have been. You understand? People can be and not be assured of that. But people can be sure of that. They can be sure of that. You know, sometime I might need to preach a sermon on ways you can know for sure that you're ready to go. That'd be a good subject, wouldn't it? And the Bible is full of that. But in this verse, verse 10, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Now let me ask you a question tonight. What do you think that does for fear? To read that and believe that without any doubt whatsoever. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There's no better place to be. And to know that without a shadow of a doubt. You say, Preacher, you talk like that you must be some perfect person to feel that way. No, I'm not. I make mistakes. I fail my Lord often. I have to pray almost weekly at times, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, be with me. Oh, I wish I could tell you the many times that I've prayed that prayer on my way to somebody's house because terrible things were happening. and to realize that the timing was absolutely perfect. And it wasn't my doing. It wasn't my doing. We need to pray that. Lord, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm just not going to be afraid. That's the comfort part. And I know I'm going to run out of time tonight, and I won't be able to share with you about ways that we know that we've been comforted, and also ways that we may know we reject that comfort. And I'll share with you how that happens. I'll share it with you. And I know the ways that He comforts His people. I've had the experience. I'd be a hypocrite if I preached about the ways that God comforts us in life if I had never experienced it for myself. I tell you what, it's almost unbelievable sometimes. That's my testimony. And I'll tell you that I know this for a fact, that it comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. He gives it to us. He's the God of all comfort. And it says all comfort in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He's the God of all comfort. Now, one of the ways, if we've experienced that comfort, is that we won't have fear. Now, remember, there's a healthy kind of fear. It's self-preservation that God has created in us. A healthy kind of fear. But then there is a fear that the Christian is not to experience. It either comes from lack of faith, lack of believing what God said, lack of assurance that He's with us and He's helping us, and we need to be careful about that. And so He says, fear thou not, for, and here's the reason why, I am with thee. And all of you know that awesome passage of Scripture where Christ's disciples were all upset when He was talking about that He was going to go away. He was talking about that time when He would die on the cross and He would be buried and He'd raise from the dead after 3 days. And He would spend, 40 days post-resurrection ministry with His disciples, teaching them and instructing them and encouraging them along. And it troubled them. You could imagine what they would have felt like. They didn't understand. They didn't understand what we understand today because of the Word of God. And He said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. Somebody might say, preacher, that's easy to say. You don't know how many times in life my heart's been troubled. And you know what? I want to say something about that too. It's okay for your heart to be troubled when you're burdened for some need. I mean, that's one of the driving forces in the life of the Christian. That's why we love each other. That's why we pray for each other. We pray for each other because we care about them. We pray for each other because we're troubled that they're troubled. We want to try to bear their pain and bear their suffering. And we pray for them. We do what we can do. And I say this all the time. A lot of members of our church never even check on nobody. They don't think about nobody but themselves. Don't you ever be in that position. And I will tell you how to keep from it. You can only keep from being in that position by loving people like you ought to. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you love each other. You see, that's one thing that I appreciate about our church. And I've told you this over and over. Man, I tell you what, I think before I become pastor at Emmanuel, I'd pastored 5 churches in the ministry. And I'm not pastoring none of them now. And the reason I'm not is because so many of our churches have a problem. And the problem is that you have a group of people in the church, they want their way or the highway. I'm telling you. Now, around here, now it took me about 20 years to learn some lessons. And I'll tell you one I learned. I've told you this. You meet me on the street and you want to fight me, I'll run from you. I'm a big chicken. You try to tear up this church, if the right one don't get you, the left one will. That's the way I feel. I mean, I love the Lord and I love His church. And I don't want to ever see people tarried up. And every once in a while, we have people that depart the premises and they go their way. And you may not know it, but they should have. The preacher might have had a little talk with them, but they should. And I, you know, for 20 years in the ministry, I was a wimp. I had to learn the hard way that people would not love the Lord or not love the church or not love each other. And so I'm not pastor of those churches no more. And I've been pastor to Emmanuel for it to be 22 years this summer. You say, preacher, why'd you stay so long? I've stayed so long because there's a whole lot of love here. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of love. And I love it. I just love it. And so I've used up my time and I've not gave you one thing that you could know how the Lord has comforted you. But I will. If the Lord delays His coming long enough, I promise you, I will. Not only will I show you ways we can know that we've been comforted of the Lord, and I know what I'm preaching about, and I'll show you ways that we can reject His comfort and all the other graces that He has offered us in His Word. Father, we praise You and thank You for what this verse says. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Lord, I know without a doubt that any of Your children who really grasp that and understand that, they won't be afraid. There's all kinds of threats in this world, but we're not to be afraid. Fear hath its torment. And thank You, dear Lord, for delivering us from torment. And so, Father, I pray You would impress this thought on our mind. And I pray, too, the folks will forgive me for repeating so many things, but it's worth repeating because it's so true. Lord, I want to be sincere. I want to be genuine. I want to be humble. I don't want pride in my life. I don't want arrogance in my life. I want to experience those things You've promised. I want the patience. I want the comfort. I want the contentment. I want the joy unspeakable, full of glory down in my heart. I want peace that passeth understanding. And I also know that there is a way that those blessings come to us. And it's by faith, trusting in You. Faith is trusting. Faith is trusting. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, what joy, what comfort it brings. Help us to do that more every day. And I know what You'll do. You'll make it show. The best witness we have, I've always believed this, is just the way we live our life, the things that we say, the things that we do. Bless us now if we close this service. In Jesus' name and for His sake I pray. Amen.